Hello and welcome to episode 12 of the Heritage Connection, brought to you by the folks here at the Tower Heritage Center, home of the Washington County Historical Society in Washington County, Wisconsin. Our mission is to forge meaningful connections across generations to Washington County's hardworking legacy, and this podcast is one more way we're trying to make those connections. I'm your host, Justin Agar Pratt, and I'm the Programs and Operations Coordinator here at the Tower Heritage Center. This episode is the fifth installment in our six-part mini-series focused on the Teen Academy. If you're not familiar with this new program, Teen Academy is an eight-day certificate program that gives high school-age students a behind-the-scenes look into the world of museums and historical societies. It gives participants the opportunity to meet professional staff, conduct daily challenges, and complete a capstone project with their teammates. Afterward, each student receives a $150 stipend and are then eligible to apply for a paid apprenticeship, a job they can keep until graduation. Today we're diving into the captivating world of historic preservation. Our Teen Academy participants, Hannah, Anthony, and Jocelyn, are here to enlighten us. Let's get started. So, before Teen Academy, what was your understanding of historic preservation and maybe its significance to museums or historical societies?
So I knew that it played a big role in museums specifically, but I did not know the extent of it or dive into like the details of it or how to do it at all.
A quick poll. How many of you had heard of historic preservation, like those terms put together before Teen Academy?
Any of you? I've heard of it, but I didn't know the extent of it.
All heads are nodding. Everyone's saying yeah. Okay, great.
To be completely honest, I knew what restoring old buildings was, but in my mind, it was more of the whole Chip and Joanna Gaines, you know, making them pretty. But really, I feel like it's a lot of staying true to the original and preserving it.
Anthony, what have you learned about historic preservation at the Teen Academy?
I learned that it's really important to, like, research the building and know where it came from. Because, like what Hannah said, you can't just, like, got the building and make it look all nice and pretty. You have to, like, really consider, like, the time period it was originally built and, like, stick with original elements. So,
Jocelyn, why do you think historic preservation is crucial for maintaining our connections to the past?
It connects us with other people. Like, it's really important for local history, especially, to have those old buildings, to preserve them and to keep them in our minds.
Hannah, can you share an example of a, you know, just a remarkable historic structure that you've seen?
Sure. It seems a bit of a obvious one, but I would actually say the state capitol, Madison, because it's so artistically put together, and somebody like worked hand in hand, like they really worked hard. And it must have taken them so long.
Jocelyn, what about you?
The Saxonia House in Fillmore. And I look out the window every day and I see it. And I don't really know a lot about it. And it's really run down and everything. But I know that it has a significant history about it. Because it has like the beer caves in the back. And it has been so many things in the past, like a hotel, a residential house, a brewery, and I think it would be great to preserve that and bring it back to how it was for a great learning experience.
Anthony, what about you?
I've been to many of them, but for some reason I'm struggling to, you know, think of one right now. But I would say, I think it was our fourth grade class trip. We went to the Wade House.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really cool because it was just, like, an old building and they had, like, all these history lessons and we got to learn more about the building, like, with guided tours and stuff with my school. So, yeah, that was
nice. And all local. Mm-hmm. It just goes to show that you don't have to go very far to find historic structures. Mm-hmm. Even buildings that are never going to end up on a postcard, right? Mm-hmm. State Capitol, it's probably been on a few postcards. Saxonia House? I don't know.
Probably not.
Wade House? Maybe. Did they have a gift shop?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So maybe it's on there. But, you know, the point is, even if a building doesn't make it on a postcard or it's not, you know, one of the national landmarks or, you know,
one of the wonders of the world. There are a lot of important structures around us. Let's shift gears to the daily skills. So adaptability was yesterday's skill. And so for those of you listening in the future, we are recording this on day 6, talking about day 5. Just pulling back the curtain for you a little bit. So adaptability was the skill. How does adaptability play a role in historic preservation efforts? Think about things that we saw on the tour, maybe even that short film, The Little House.
Yeah, so like a historic building, it's there when the entire world is changing around it. Like, it's been through so many changes in history, but it's always something that's like connecting people to each other and connecting to the town. So I guess it has to adapt to its changing surroundings.
And to your point, think about this building we're sitting in right now, right? The 1889 Courthouse Museum. You're right. Buildings like this have seen a lot of change. And I'm sure, you know, for some of you, you might be playing in your head imagining, like in movies when they show time passing and the buildings going up and down and everything changing in like fast motion, sped up or whatever. So this building has seen a lot of changes around it. It's also seen a lot of changes inside of it. Even the use, right? Mm-hmm. Like when we went through, we talked about how certain walls that were built in 1889 had to have holes cut in them to make doorways because people need to move through it as a museum, right? So that's one way that this building has had to be adapted. Anthony, can you think of a situation where adaptability was essential while you were working on a project, even if it wasn't a project we were working on this day? Was there any time during Teen Academy you had to use adaptability to get through a project?
Yeah, when we were setting up our exhibits on day 4, I believe, we were presented with like a roadblock.
Oh yeah, you did set it up on day 4, you're right.
Yeah.
You planned it on day 3.
But like a roadblock where one of our like artifacts were presumably like not suitable to be out in the exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to take something out of the exhibit and then we had to kind of like shift the idea of the exhibit to kind of like make it seem that something wasn't just, you know, taken from the exhibit and that it was still like full. So we had to adapt to that change.
Mm-hmm. Jocelyn, what strategies have you learned to foster adaptability when you face those unexpected hurdles, like Anthony was talking about, that little curveball I threw you of the hypothetical, this artifact can't go on display, it's too fragile. How do you cope with unexpected hurdles?
I think keeping my head clear and not giving up, even if it doesn't go right the first time, is really important.
And we'll hear from our Teen Academy participants one more time as we wrap up this Teen Academy miniseries in our next episode. Again, I'm your host, Justin Agar-Pratt, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Heritage Connection, brought to you by the Tower Heritage Center, home of the Washington County Historical Society, whose mission is to forge meaningful connections across generations to Washington County's hardworking legacy. See you next time!